Psalm 23 is, in fact, probably one of the most well-known passages in all the Bible. People who are not even religious know Psalm 23. Just about any funeral you go to will, on the paper that they hand you talking about the individual that you are honoring at the funeral, will probably have Psalm 23 printed on that piece of paper. It is a very comforting passage. And a wonderful psalm that has captured the thoughts of numerous people throughout the ages. We're going to take a look at that tonight as we continue our sermons on Sunday night on great verses of the Bible. And we hear this psalm so often, and we've read it so often, and we hear people quote it so often that maybe it has lost or at least there's a tendency to have lost or to dull our senses to the beauty of the sentiments contained within. And we don't really consider just all that David is saying there. I hope that we can take a look at that tonight, though, and see what it is that is so special about this passage. Read Psalm 23, if you will, for me, or with me. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David uses the metaphor of a relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. And of course, David would have been very familiar with this, with shepherding, because he used to be one himself. And he had been a very good shepherd, caring for and protecting his sheep, his father's sheep. And in this psalm, he portrays Yahweh as the good shepherd. And he does so exquisitely. And may I make a very simple observation about this psalm that I think will help us to appreciate what it is that David is trying to say. And it's something that you already know, but we need to point out. And that is that God is the shepherd and we are the sheep. Now, I know it's simple, but understand what all that entails and what that means. Because as you may know, sheep are some of the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. That's not saying too much for us, is it? That sheep are scared, sheep are prone to walk off on their own and to get lost, and that sheep have to have a shepherd if they are going to survive. But the same is true for us, is it not? I've often wondered if maybe God created sheep to be stupid just so that He could use that analogy when it comes to you and I. That He created sheep to have some of the same characteristics that you and I have, spiritually speaking, with Him as our leader, as our shepherd. I don't know if that's the case or if it's just a matter of a good example or a portrayal of us or not, but in any case, it does make for a good analogy. They are quite senseless, timid, defenseless, helpless, and they get lost easily, and they literally don't know when to come in out of the rain. Sounds a lot like us from time to time. There are three points that David makes in the psalm that we will look at tonight. Three different ways he depicts God and His being a shepherd. First of all, what we see right off the bat is that God is our provider. And he says in the poetic style that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I believe I've told you before that when I was a child, I didn't understand this. I've always wondered, why did David not want the Lord as his shepherd? But that's not, of course, what he's saying. What he's saying is that he will not lack for anything. He shall not be in want of anything because the Lord is providing everything that he needs. God is our provider in both physical ways and in spiritual ways. Taking a look at the physical ways first, as he uses this metaphor of the sheep, This is a shepherd who loves and cares for his sheep, providing for their needs. He's providing rest. He's providing food. He's providing water. All three of which are found here in verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside the still waters. And so you have him providing the food. You have him providing the water. You have him providing the rest that the sheep need. The pastures which the shepherd are going to lead the sheep to are going to be those lush green, we're going to have lush green grass providing plenty of good food, a soft, comfortable, cool place to lie down and rest during the day. Did you know that sheep are scared of running water? At least that's what I read in just about every commentary that I've read on sheep, is that sheep are scared of running water. And so David says that he leads him beside the still waters because they will not drink from fast-moving water. They need calm waters to drink from. And so the shepherd will lead them to the still waters, or at least he will divert part of that running stream into a smaller area to where it will pool and collect, to where it will be nice and calm for them to drink from. And the shepherd in his work as providing for his sheep is the picture, of course, of God providing what you and I need. God is our provider. And as the good shepherd, he has promised that he will provide us everything that we must have for this life. And you go over to Matthew chapter 6 and you see there Jesus saying the very same thing, talking about how God is going to provide for our every need. What we don't have to worry about what we're going to put on. We don't have to worry about what we're going to wear or what food we're going to eat or any of the basic necessities of life. There is a caveat though. Matthew 6 verse 33. And that is, put the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. And all of these things will be added unto you. But don't worry about those things. He is our shepherd. He is our provider. He is going to give us what we need. This morning we talked about diligence versus laziness in the book of Proverbs. And how we are designed to work and how God wants us to be working. Just because God is our provider, of course, does not preclude us from having some say-so in the matter and in getting busy with working. But He expects us to work, and if we do our job, and if we put Him first, He will provide us with all that we need. Our faith and trust needs to be in Him, not in our abilities, but in the Lord to provide, just like a sheep trusts in its shepherd. And he says back up in verse 1 that he is not in want. He does not lack anything. And I believe included in this idea is the idea of being content. And with the Lord as his shepherd, David knew it didn't matter what circumstances he was in, he was going to be taken care of. We all know the story of David and how he, for many years, was running from Saul. And even after he became king, he had numerous enemies, including his own family, including his own son that chased him from Jerusalem and usurped the throne. Numerous times he was running from enemies, but you see throughout the Psalms, as he writes about his enemies, his explicit trust and faith in God to take care of him. That he was going to provide for him no matter what. He was content no matter what situation he was in. How many times have you heard of someone who had plenty but wanted more? Who were constantly seeking after the physical things, and just never seem satisfied. Or maybe that's been you. Maybe you've experienced those feelings where you're striving for more and more and never satisfied. I read a quote from O.J. Simpson, that this was from People magazine in 1978. This is at the highlight of his career with the Buffalo Bills. He was a star. Of course, he had played at USC and then went on to the NFL, and this is what he said about his life, and you can just imagine at this point in time, he had just about everything you could ever imagine, and he could have whatever he wanted whenever he wanted it. And this is what he said about that situation. He said, "I sit in my house in Buffalo, and sometimes I get so lonely it's unbelievable. Life has been so good to me. I've got a great wife, good kids, money, my own health, and I'm lonely and bored. I often wondered why so many rich people commit suicide. Money sure isn't a cure-all." He had everything that most people desire, and yet he said, I'm not content. I'm not satisfied. And I understand now why so many rich people commit suicide, because money is not the cure for everything. You know what is? Contentment in the Lord as our provider. Contentment in the Lord as our shepherd. That will get us through no matter how much or how little we ever have. And Paul said the same thing when he said that I have learned to be content in every situation. I have learned how to be humbled. I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to have much. And it doesn't matter, because he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Contentment is not about having stuff, but rather it's understanding that the stuff we do have comes from God, from our provider, and that he will always give us what we need. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd, he is my provider. I'm not going to lack anything physically, but he also states that he's not going to lack anything spiritually either. Look at verse 3. He says, he restores my soul. Still using the metaphor of a shepherd and a leading the sheep, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is a picture of a shepherd who leads the sheep to all the right places. David says that Yahweh has done the same for him in both a physical sense and a spiritual sense. The shepherd has led him to the places that filled his basic needs, restored his soul, and the Lord's statutes, the Lord's righteousness, the Lord's laws have refreshed him. And that in itself is refreshing to understand, that God's laws are for our good. I think that sometimes we hear the critics, we hear what the world says about Christians not being able to have any fun. It's a bunch of thou shalt nots. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't go there. You can't have any fun as a Christian. It's just a bunch of restrictions. And we sometimes, even as Christians, can feel that way if we're viewing things with the wrong attitude. No, God's laws are not there to suppress us and to keep us from having a fun life. His laws are there for our good, and by following his laws, he has our best interest in mind, and good things happen as a result. Those laws are there because he knows that's what we need. It's amazing to me that when we follow God's laws, how good things work and how refreshed we feel. And you take a look when people do not follow God's laws and the mess they create for themselves and the situations that they find themselves in, or maybe that you have found yourselves in when you have failed to follow God's laws. And it's not a good situation at all. And you contrast the life of someone who is not following God and all the negative consequences that come from that versus someone who is being led in the right paths, the paths of righteousness. It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy life necessarily, but God is there providing for them what they need spiritually. And it's things that are for their good. But isn't it true that we don't always follow the paths that lead to righteousness? That's what sheep do. Sheep stray off the path. They can be led, and there's the shepherds right there, but they have their own mind, and they go their own way. You know the way a shepherd's staff looks, right? It's got that big hook on the top of it. And you understand what that hook is for, right? It's because sheep will stray off the path and start to get themselves in trouble. And the shepherd has to take that and wrap it around the sheep's neck and pull them back into line and get them back away from the trouble. Well, even though the paths that he talks about here in verse 3 are well-defined, well-worn trails, even though that the path is obvious, the direction they ought to be going, because sheep are not the brightest animals on the face of the earth, they get lost easily. And even though it's obvious which way they should go, they don't always stay on the path. Isn't that true with you and me? Isn't it obvious when we read God's word what the path is and where we ought to go and what we ought to do, but we have our own minds and we stray off that path from time to time? Sheep have a great tendency to wander off, and once again the need for a shepherd is obvious. And once again we see ourselves in the sheep because we get lost many times, even though the path is obvious to us. But thanks be to God that He leaves the 99 and goes after the one sheep. Because it may be that we are that one sheep. The shepherd, God, is our provider, providing for us for our physical needs and providing for our spiritual needs. And He's done everything and continues to do everything He can to give us what we need spiritually. We just need to follow the shepherd. This shepherd leads the sheep. He says it in verse 2, He leads me beside the still waters. In verse 3, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The shepherd is going before him, taking him to the places he needs to go. Flip over to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. There we see Jesus, of course, referencing Himself as the good shepherd. One of the seven I am statements in the book of John. In John chapter 10, in verse 2, he says, He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And he goes on to talk about himself as the good shepherd, as the one who is leading the sheep and going before the sheep. And that's a perfect illustration, because that's exactly what Jesus did. When he was here on this earth, he was leading, he was going before the people that he wished to follow him. He was asking for disciples. He wanted people to follow him. And he took them where they needed to be. And he does not ask anything of you or me that he has first not done himself. He is not asking us to go anywhere or do anything that he himself has not already been. And all we have to do is listen to his voice and know that he is leading us in the right places. That he is leading us to where we can be refreshed both physically and, more importantly, spiritually. God is our provider. He will provide everything we need. We just need to listen to the shepherd and follow the shepherd. As we go on in verse 4 of Psalm 23, we come to a different aspect of God as our shepherd, and that is, not only is He our provider, but He is also our protector. And the sheep don't need to fear as a result. He says in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Do you remember in The Wizard of Oz, the scene where you have Dorothy and you have the, I guess at this point it's Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow. And they're going down the yellow brick road, and you remember how they're scared because there might be lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And they're going through this dark forest and scared of what might jump out and attack them. And here in this picture, we have the sheep that are being led by the shepherd. Maybe it's the end of the day. Maybe he's done feeding them and he's taking them back to the sheepfold, back to the place where they will spend the night. And they're going through this valley, and the sun is setting and the shadows are creeping in. And they know, the sheep know, that there are wolves about. There are lions. There are all these predators that are there. But they see the shepherd. And they see his rod and his staff. And they understand that the shepherd is there to protect them. And even though a shepherd provides for the sheep, he cannot promise that life is always going to be a bed of roses. There will be times of distress. There will be times of danger and sorrow. And these are the times that the sheep need to rely upon the shepherd even more. And trust in the shepherd to not only provide rest, food, and water, but for protection as well. And when you take a look at what the shepherd has and what the shepherd does, then we can be fearless. Take a look over at 1 Samuel 17. And here we have David actually talking about his work as a shepherd and how he protected his sheep, his father's sheep. In 1 Samuel 17, this is the story where you have Goliath, of course, who's challenging the armies of Israel, and everybody is scared of Goliath. Saul is sitting in his tent quaking at the knees, and David comes in, this young man, and says, "I'll go." And Saul says to him, "You can't go. You're not able to fight." I'm in 1 Samuel 17, verse 33. "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But notice what David says in response in verse 34. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." I'd like to see any of us try that today. He didn't have a gun at his side. He didn't have a rifle or a shotgun or anything like that. What did he have? He had his rod. The rod would be like a wooden club. Sometimes they would embed stones into the end of it. But that was what he would use as protection to beat off the predator. And so, can you imagine going up to a lion or to a bear who is attacking your sheep and not just trying to scare it away, but grabbing it by the beard and beating it over the head with your rod? You know, legends are told about Davy Crockett killing a bear when he was only 3 years old. Yeah, he had a rifle. He wasn't taking a rod and beating the bear or the lion to death. That's what the shepherd does. He protects his sheep. And anytime a sheep is caught in the jaws and the traps of that lion or bear, he is going to do everything he can to rescue that sheep. God is that protector. And whether it be from physical enemies that we have, situations or horrors or things that are going wrong in our life, or whether it be from the roaring lion walking about, or the devil walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, God as our protector will do everything in his power to keep us from being devoured. We just have to look to the shepherd. We need to listen to the shepherd. We need to follow the shepherd as he's leading us even through dangerous territory. We need to understand that he is with us, and his rod and his staff, the staff, of course, there, like I said before, to pull us back into the path if we get off the path, those are comforts to us because he is looking out for us. He is protecting us from all evil. Philippians 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When you're going through your valley of the shadow of death, whatever that may be, in whatever form it may appear, these are the types of verses you need to remember. You need to understand that God is your protector, and you need to come to him as your shepherd. And that peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that is, that you cannot even describe the peace that comes over you when you put everything in his power and you place it all at his feet and say, "Lord, help me." And that will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need to trust our shepherd as our protector. We need to understand that God is there to not only provide for us physically and spiritually, but he is there to protect us from every temptation, from every evil way, that he has provided for us a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Every temptation that comes our way, we have a way to escape that. And he laid down his life for the sheep to save them from evil. Following the shepherd will keep us safe from that evil because he is our protector. And if we follow Him, it doesn't matter how many lions and bears come up against us. Because we will win. Because God will protect us. And as he moves on in this psalm, he moves from God being a provider to a protector to finally God is our preserver. He preserves his sheep in the end. Take a look at the last couple of verses, verse 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We have a metaphor now kind of changes a little bit to that of a banquet host. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here you have this banquet prepared for David. God prepares this banquet for you and me, of course, by extension, to be honored by him. And notice who's there watching. It's our enemies. It's all the evil forces, everyone that does not want this for us. God is preparing a table and he's doing it right in front of our enemies and he's honoring us in front of all of that. He is lifting us up and exalting us and saying, "This is my sheep. This is what I do for those who follow me. I will preserve them to the very end. And you cannot harm them." This is almost like a taunt. At least that's the way I read it. A taunt to the enemies of God and the enemies of God's sheep. And we can expect the same from God as David did. And there are enemies of the cross of Christ today. There, we have people that don't like us because of who we are and what we stand for. But God is telling us that if we will just follow the shepherd, that we will be exalted, we will be preserved, we will be lifted up to be preserved in front of all of our enemies. In Revelation chapter 6, I want you to turn there and take a look at something that is stated there. Revelation 6. I think of this passage when I think of the way it seems like everything's going in the world. And doesn't it seem to you like the enemy is winning? Doesn't it seem to you like Satan has a whole lot more followers? Doesn't it seem to you like we're fighting a losing battle when it comes to conservative moral values in this country? Doesn't it seem to you like with every passing year, something even crazier starts to get promoted? And we've moved from the sanctity of marriage and how that's a lifelong commitment to now divorce is prevalent, even amongst those who claim Christ. And we've moved well beyond that now to where homosexuality, of course, is not something to be ashamed of, but it's something to have pride in instead. And we move beyond that to where now homosexuality should, that people who are homosexual should marry one another. And now people are saying incestuous relationships should be allowed. And you have a couple of cases where a son, and his mother, his natural born mother that he has not ever known before because she gave him up for adoption. After 20 some odd years, they're reunited and they start having an incestual relationship and they want to get married. It just gets worse and worse. It seems like Satan is winning. And the people that follow the shepherd are losing. In Revelation 6 and in verse 9, it says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Here are Christians who lost their life because they were Christians. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Give us the justice that we deserve." And it seems like Satan is winning. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. It wasn't done yet. More were going to be killed. And throughout the book of Revelation, that seems to be the case where you have this great cosmic battle between the forces of good and evil, and apparently evil is winning, at least for a time. And then you get to chapter 20 and 21, and we finally see Satan defeated, and the saints are victorious, and they are the ones that are preserved, just like David said, that I will be preserved. That you have set this table before me in the front of all my enemies. And they see it. They've been defeated, and I have been exalted. And their cup overflows. It's everything that he has talked about in the previous verses. All the aspects he's already discussed, providing rest, providing food, providing drink, and protection from enemies, all wrapped up in one in this banquet scene. And we may never have to face the enemy the way the saints in the first century faced the enemy. But if that does happen to us in our lifetime, then we need to know that as long as we are following the shepherd, that he will preserve us in the end, and that we will be honored in the presence of our enemies. God is our provider, and he is our protector, and he is our preserver. He is the good shepherd. It's hard to beat Psalm 23. It's one of the most comforting passages in all of Scripture. But the constant theme throughout it all is we must follow that shepherd. And that without the shepherd, we are lost. We can't just claim that the Lord is our shepherd. We have to follow the shepherd. Claiming the Lord as our shepherd and then going our own way does us no good. And it's useless and worthless. It's vain. You ever been to the store and maybe doing some shopping and you see a little child, maybe 3-4 years old, who for a brief moment in time has gotten separated from his mother or his father. And that child doesn't see the mother or father, doesn't know where they are. Now, there are some children who will just go up to anybody and they've got that bubbly personality and they'll just talk to anybody. They're not scared at all. But there are numerous children, though, that age, that when they get separated from their parent, they're scared. And maybe they're crying. You see them and you hear them crying and they're calling for mama. And they're running around wondering where they are and they're looking frantically for their parent. And then you see them reunited. Maybe the parent was just right around the corner on the other aisle, you know, not very far away at all. It's not like some parent had abandoned their child, but they're right there and they're reunited and you can just see that relief wash over the child. And you see that safety once again. I'm safe. I have my provider. I have my protector. I have my preserver with me. Without that parent, though, there's fear. There's no direction. There's danger. And that's the way it is with us and our Heavenly Father as our shepherd. Without Him, we're scared. We're lost. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. And we are in constant danger. Is the Lord your shepherd tonight? You sang about it before the sermon. Did you sing it? Did you mean it? Can you honestly say that the Lord is your shepherd? And that He is leading you and that you are following the Lord wherever He may take you? We encourage you to make that the case tonight. If in some way you have not been following Jesus Christ as your shepherd, and if you have not been trusting yourself to Him, make that right tonight. Make that commitment to follow Him wherever He takes you, to trust Him to be your provider and protector and preserver. If we can help you with that, won't you come forward as together we stand and as we sing.